All right. Chairman Brad Holton, I'll call the meeting back to order after a quick recess. Still present are the other two commissioners. And with that, Zach Wagner is here to present for this agenda item. Thanks.
Thank you. Since Mr. Bazzoli was just here, I would like to touch on something that I think is very important. Years ago, the county had public defense spending in multiple budgets. We had some in the trial court administrator, some in information technology, some in public defense. It was scattered around in different budgets. The state began to reimburse us for what was spent on public defense. So we took some accounting efforts to put all of the public defense spending into one budget. It required a great deal of cooperation and communication, but then that enabled us to get our full reimbursement allotment from the state, because we got all of the expenditures in one place rather than scattered.
Right.
So sometimes we may do some things that might not make sense on the surface, but we want to track the expenditures to the greatest extent possible back to the department or the office. And oftentimes there is financial cash incentives to do that. So that's why we take certain expenses, put them in a specific department to maximize the use of other people's money.
Can I back up, tack onto that too, some really good history? And that is I always wondered why we couldn't put public defense under the indigent budget. Well, we were told by everybody, no, you can't do that. Well, I couldn't find anywhere that says, no, you can't do that. But even the director of the IAC at the time, his hair would light on fire and said, you can't do that. So we had a clerk meeting, and at the time, I think it was Bannock County clerk, who was kind of a bit of a loose cannon. We're talking about it, and I said, why don't you put it under indigent? He said, well, that's a great idea. He did. Nothing happened, because there's no teeth anywhere. Again, couldn't find anywhere that says you can't do it.
Right.
After we saw that Bannock got away with it, that's what we did here in Canyon County too, was moved public defender under the indigent budget. And it worked quite well.
Seems like an appropriate category.
Pardon?
It seems like an appropriate category.
That's what I thought.
Well, the first page here are the revenues, the actual revenues compared to what was budgeted for fiscal year 2023, and these are through April. So through April, we're approximately 50-60% through the fiscal year. Our property taxes, we've realized 63% of what was budgeted for property taxes. So that, as far as the actual budget, that's in the ballpark. I don't see any abnormalities or any problems there. That's coming in pretty much as expected. Our intergovernmental revenue, so that would include federal grants, state grants, sales tax. We are, based on what was budgeted, we're at 45%. If you look down below, one of the major driving forces behind that percentage being, I would say on the lower side, would be our ARPA monies. We budgeted $5.18 million in ARPA activity for 2023. We budgeted for capital investments, large capital projects, buildings, roof repairs. And those type of projects take time to develop. So we just haven't had a lot of activity so far, fiscal year to date, 2023, under the ARPA umbrella. So the ARPA monies sit in a fiduciary, a holding account until they're actually spent. And then at that time, they're transferred into the county budget, if you will. But the transfer doesn't happen until the monies are actually spent. But guess a good side to that, those monies are invested with the LGIP.
Oh, good.
And interest rates have gone up, so yes, we do have a large amount of cash earning interest. The interest earnings are available to be spent at our discretion. They're not covered under the umbrella of the award of the grant. They're for the county to use at our discretion. Our charges for services revenues, we're at 45%. Our licenses, permits, and other miscellaneous revenues, we're doing fairly well there. We're at 59% of what was budgeted. On our charges for services, again down below, some areas where we're not quite keeping up with what was budgeted, that would be our administrative fee, Department of Motor Vehicles. We're about 34% of what was budgeted. Our recording fee revenues, 36% of what was budgeted through April, and our building permits were at 37% of what was budgeted for fiscal year 2023.
Do you have observations or opinions about that?
I do. I think we, 21, 22 may have been abnormally accelerated. There were some significant increases. So generally you're gonna see on the downside a significant downward trend as well. But I feel like we're almost coming back to more of a normal type level.
Oh, okay.
The decrease may seem significant, it is, but we were up so high.
Right.
You come down quickly and then kind of trend back to more of a normal type level. I think that's where we're headed, is more of normal.
So if you did a trend and you were able to inject the increase in population and all of that, would it where we're at today, would it been equal in all things considered 19, 18, 17? I mean, are we, take out that anomaly, root mean square. You're feeling comfortable
with
that?
I'm feeling comfortable with it. Yeah, I think if you were to take out that anomaly, mm-hmm, it would be more of a gentle slope.
Equaling the increase of everything.
Significantly tied to population.
Yeah. All right.
Good point.
Good to know.
Okay, page number 2 shows the expenditures relative to what was budgeted. Salaries and benefits, the total budget was a little over $86 million, and we've spent $42.5 million on salaries and benefits through April. That is 49% of what was budgeted. If you look at specific payrolls, we're 54% through the payroll year. We're 5% under budget countywide on our payroll. And that is due to, we still have a fair amount of vacant positions. We budget for all positions as if they were occupied for the entire fiscal year.
Right.
Okay. Our other operating expenditures were at 48%, and our capital investments, we're at 27% of what was budgeted for the year. Down below, I've highlighted a few of the larger, more significant funds. So our current expense fund, we've spent 47% of what was budgeted. The Justice Fund has spent 53% of what was budgeted, and District Court Fund has spent 47% of what was budgeted. On the Justice Fund, actuals to budget compared to the current expense fund, Justice, there's a little more spending related to the budget on personnel and also on their other operating vehicles, computer equipment, guns, ammunition. They're able to acquire some of those items earlier in the fiscal year.
Oh, okay. On So I have a theoretical. If a high interest court case comes to a county near us, will that be direct expenses that were not considered in this budget? And how or what pot of money would we be able to deal with that?
I think that would be expending expenditures that were not anticipated.
Okay. So the last one I'm aware of for Kane County was Claude Dallas. So I don't even know, I mean, it's before all of us. I don't even know how they dealt with that, but I suspect this one, if it were to come here, would make that one look fairly insignificant.
I guess my initial thought, my hope would be that the state of Idaho would provide some financial assistance if they were to
do that.
Tack that burden onto Canyon County. I would hope they would provide some assistance.
Well, we had a murder appeal 2 years ago that moved out of Idaho County and came here, and we were compensated by Idaho County.
It was, okay. So it might be from that jurisdiction in the state that would help. Okay, good. I didn't know.
What we have to worry about is capital murder trials here in this county. And when those start adding up, we can be talking about significant costs.
Well, we have nine that are incarcerated right now, and I'm sure there's more people wanting to volunteer. So. Okay.
Any questions on the second page?
Questions? All right.
Okay, then at page three starts a comparison of actuals. These are actual amounts through April. We've got a comparison for fiscal year 2023 relative to fiscal year 2022. The property tax actual for 2023 is decreased approximately $9 million. And again, that was anticipated. That was built into the budget. We lowered our property taxes $14 million. Well, we knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. The intergovernmental revenue is more or less flat. And if you look down below, our ARPA revenue is quite a bit lower. In 2022, we used ARPA monies for more day-to-day expenditures. We used ARPA monies for our medical contracts for the jail and juvenile detention. We used ARPA money for vehicles and other day-to-day type operations. We took a different approach in 2023, so that's why the ARPA revenue is down. Yeah. There is an increase in our sales tax. We have a new allocation of sales tax from the state to help pay for part of indigent public defense. So that is new. The indigent fund levy disappeared. It went away in 2023. We're no longer eligible to levy property tax for indigent. It was replaced with sales tax money.
Okay.
So that's a new source of revenue offsetting what we lost for property tax.
Chairman?
Yes.
Zach, do you have numbers on the actual cost for public defense? Where I listened to a presentation last night that said Representative Moyle said that the allocation from the state met the costs at county government for the public defense portion. So we've just had Aaron here. He's going to provide a grant fund. But are you able to talk to that at all at Canyon County's budget on public defense?
Well, I've got power plan here. We can dial in specific to the public defense, public defender. And hopefully Sarah can read those amounts for me. So the total budgeted for public defense is $7.3 million
mm-hmm.
2023. So $7.3 is the cost. If we go up to the revenue side, the budgeted revenue is
5.8 million.
5.8 million. So that is $1.5 million short. So the 5.8 includes this new sales tax, plus it includes the grant we were just talking about with Aaron a few minutes ago.
So it's really short.
It's really short.
Oh, there was a misstatement from an elected official last night.
Well, I did indicate that the state's revenue was falling short of the actual cost. I said $2 million, so I was $500,000 off, but...
We'll let it go.
You're right there.
Yeah, thank you.
It's immaterial in the
scope of things.
Well, I think it's important because the one thing we did agree on is that we should speak about the facts. And so when the board has facts and he's promised that states will have greater scrutiny on local budgets, and I thought, well, it's just a call to understand what it is we're doing more and to do it better, because I think by and large people are trying, and maybe the goal is the same, but I think to continually pound on local government, when he talks about surplus, I did ask about the state surplus and spending outside of a legislative session. That one got kind of shoved away on the side. But, yeah.
Well, isn't the state trying to say that with the indigent going away, which it doesn't totally go away, but there's an offset there so that from the county expenditure side of things.
Well, that's what they're saying, but they took away the property tax levy and replaced it with $4.6 million.
Yeah.
We're giving them credit for that. We recognize that. We're giving you credit for a new $4.6 million. Mm-hmm. We're giving you credit for the $1 million of PDC grant monies. That only totals up to, and you add in another revenue from the repayments, it's $5.8 million. That doesn't cover $7.3 million of spending.
Right.
It's still short. And they based part of this information on the cost to run this in 2021. And they sent us three new judges since then.
Right.
So they based it on old historical costs.
And when we were talking in the early stages of this, they were telling us, you guys are going to come out better than whole in this whole program. So you want to talk about the lie, here we are.
Numbers are numbers. You're exactly right, Mr. Ben. It's numbers. They're $1.5 million short.
Well, just help this board articulate that out in public with factual data. So if you see us not speaking out properly, get us the right numbers so we represent us factually. Really hard to argue against the facts.
Chairman, can I ask one more question? It's related to finances, but you can stop if it's not appropriate. But on the other allocation of state revenue, he was talking about the lottery tax, tobacco, and alcohol taxes. And so I said those are providing support for the juvenile probation services, but I said I don't think they cover the expenses on that either.
They do not, and what aggravates me about those amounts is they're frozen. They don't change. There's no inflationary adjustment. Those amounts are locked, and they are not covering the full cost of the service. County taxpayers are picking up the difference again.
And what I heard is that the county only gets about a 25% allocation of the state's revenue on those three taxes. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think 25% might be high. I don't understand the...
That does it. I'm not buying any more liquor.
I am trying to win the lottery to help our program across Idaho.
All right. Enough for the jokes.
Well, thank you for the feedback. We did try to push back because to incite taxpayers to use a machete on local government is a little bit disingenuous for what we're trying to do.
It was way past disingenuous.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess I do have a little bit of a follow-up there. For 2024, I think we're going to still have a similar type budget for public defense. I don't think the state really takes it over until 2025. So we'll still have that grant. We'll still have that new sales tax, I believe, for 2024 as we develop the 2024 budget.
So, Chairman, it would be, I think, important for this board to work with Zach and Chris on developing maybe a fact sheet as we get close to the budget season, because he was, again, criticizing local government for not having citizen involvement. So I said proudly that Canyon County, you don't even have to get it out of your living room. You can watch it from YouTube. So I hope that we do that again this year. So that was seen favorably. But
and if they do become state employees in 2025, what's their office space? Where do they hold business?
It's free. That's the business model on our backs.
Who does their payroll, their accounts payable? What, all these support services that we've provided to public defense, who picks those up?
Yeah, Mr. I was just talking to Director Bazzoli about this very topic, about they're not considering space, equipment, IT services to roll out the equipment. I see the methods on ISC trying to keep up on the court side of things, and they're always behind. I can't imagine them trying to take over this whole public defense and keep on top of even technology and these other issues. It's going to be underfunded for probably 3 or 4 years to come.
Send them an invoice.
Well, we're having Zach and I are having a discussion for 24 budget. What does that look like for B budget for public defender and the time frame with this move? So, you know, kind of what I'm thinking at the moment is we get pretty tight-fisted about 24, and why should we buy new printers, for instance, that have a, let's say, a 4 or 5 year life expectancy, and when supposedly the state's going to be taking that over. So it's going to be an interesting discussion as to what B budget looks like.
Absolutely.
And Chairman, he did say, in the interest of maybe some overreach, which I heard a little bit of, that the state, that if budgets weren't cut, what he defined as to his, what he thinks is appropriate, that the state would have to step in and start looking at that and crawling through all of those B budget items to see where, who's buying pizza and who's eating pizza. So that's just for the record what the exchange was yesterday. It was interesting.
Let's move on before I make a derogatory statement that I further regret.
Okay.
All right. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
Well, some happy news. Our interest earnings are way up.
Yay. Well, I guess, because then that makes the building permits go way down.
Yeah. So I was trying to have a little positive.
I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, that's really
bringing
neat.
Me back down to earth.
Yeah, that's really neat. Yes.
At least it's a net positive.
Yes, it's a net positive.
So, Chairman, does that interest stay in dedicated fund, or does that roll right into current expense? How does that work?
Well, it has to be.
The interest is allocated between the various funds.
Okay.
Not every fund. We have, like, our historical society fund has such a small balance.
So it's prorated based on the levy rates for all the, your funds that are?
Well, prorated based on the fund balances.
On the fund balance, not on the levy rate.
So the amount of cash in the fund. So a certain amount of that interest revenue is for the enterprise fund.
Okay.
A certain amount is for current expense. A certain amount is for justice. It's allocated and spread out. But my recommendation on the ARPA interest is a little separate. I would recommend we put all of that into current expense. That's where we have the most width of how we can use the money. So when it comes time, I recommend we move all of that to current expense.
All right.
Well, no, the building permits are down 498, but the interest revenue is up 771, so it's a net positive there.
Do you have a feel what the interest rates have done since this budget became effective? I mean, have they gone up 1% or over that?
Over that.
Yeah, so this is really indicative of a pretty slow up.
Yeah, I think that number is just going to, and we will have some investments, some bonds that are older.
Right.
So as those expire, we'll pick them up, new bonds at the new 4 to 5% rate.
Right.
So I think that should just keep getting better.
Better, all right. Okay.
Okay, page four shows the, and these are actual expenditures through April, comparing again 2023 to 2022, our actual spending is up almost $9 million. The majority of that's in salaries and benefits. The investments we made in our personnel, our actual spending is approximately $6 million more on salaries and benefits. And other operating expenditures are up $1.5 million, and $1.5 million increase in our capital investment spending. So just county business, inflation is hitting us like it's hitting consumers. It's just getting more expensive to operate.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I got a question back to the fund balances. Is there somewhere in Power Plan that has like what those balances are?
Fund balances are not in Power Plan. Oh, okay. They're available on the annual financial report.
Okay.
And they are available in Financial Edge. And fund balances are unique from a timing perspective, because the county gets such a large influx of cash in December.
Okay.
And June.
It really sucks as a business model. Cash flow.
Property taxes are our number one source of revenue. Big collection in December. If you look at your fund balances in December, happy day. But if you look at them in May, might not be quite as happy. But then in June, you'll get that second inflow of cash from property tax. It may be best to focus on that September 30th.
Yeah, snapshots don't work. Yeah. But as far as a business model, it beats farming.
Filters on.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Any questions?
So we're starting to walk into planning budgets and working with all of the entities within our organization. Do you have any opinions or guidance that you would like to express to us, to the board, for the 30,000 foot view before we start walking into this? That's why I was wanting to ask about the average of where we're at with the economy, with the income, if there's no anomalies, it looks like, at that part. We just have people that have done budgets in the last 2 years that we're coming back to reality.
We're not seeing that rapid growth like we did. I think my mindset would be cautious. We're not seeing that rapid growth that we did. We've seen it's come back down and appears to be leveling off. So I think we need to be very mindful, very cautious of what I'm going to refer to as growing government. When we add positions, that often creates a liability, not only for the next fiscal year, but potentially and beyond. We need to be very mindful of actions we take that lead to long-term financial commitments.
Well, and if I can inject, when you talk about growth, I look at it in two ways. There's the population growth and there's the economic growth, and you have to pay attention to both.
What do you feel, Clerk, about the economics of Caney County? Have you seen any any anomalies, either positive or negative, that we need to consider?
Well, I would have to tell you that things are going better than I would suspect. And there's some very odd things going on right now. For instance, part of the interest rate thing, and there's a whole ball of wax there, of course, but it's partially responsible for the bank failures. There's a lot to unpack with that. But at any rate, when you take a look at the whole picture, and again, we kind of, looking at Canyon County, we watch the landfill. Landfill's actually pretty accurate as to what's going on economically in Canyon County, especially when we shut Ada County off from bringing their demo stuff. But
it gets to more of a clearer picture. You know, the small municipalities, I always look at the alcohol revenue. Tells you people will go to drink when things are really tough. It's a one-to-one deal.
Yeah, some of the, what they call them, sin things and makeup don't seem to fluctuate much when there's a downturn.
Yeah. Okay.
That being said, and I'm at kind of the glasses half empty kind of outlook, but given what the Feds have done with interest rates, given the amount of money that they've printed, which it creates inflation, stock market is doing some really odd things. I watch precious metals to see how that's balancing out. The stock market and the old rules aren't exactly applying.
No.
We're in a strange time. So I agree with the controller in that we saw some good times in ways. If you take COVID out of the picture, but yes, I think we need to be very cautious moving forward.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, along those lines, budget requests are due Monday.
Right.
There are budget meetings scheduled for Monday morning.
Right.
What does the board expect from me Monday? What can I do to help? I don't really have, normally the requests come in Monday at 4:59 p.m.
Some of them.
Some of them. I don't have a lot. What do you envision on Monday? I don't have handouts. I just don't have the information yet.
I'm sure I actually talked to the three. They're doing the workshops on Monday, and their stuff is in and completed. Because I said, okay, sorry to short you a day. Because I typically have closed the business on Monday to get that in. Those three are ready to go on Monday. But I was thinking is if we could do your 3 years like you normally do, list out a power plan, so get the actuals and whatnot, so we could look what was spending happened, and then we can go from there. But I told the directors to come in with their presentation like they normally would, either with you or the clerk and the board, and just go through their presentation, kind of workshop through that. And I told them to focus on the large changes, not the line by line, but if there's a major change, they'll explain why those changes are.
This is what trying to articulate this in an intelligent manner. I disagree with the 3 years because we have 2 years of absolute anomaly. That's why I was asking Zach earlier, could we do a 5 years and dial in some known offsets? We only had this population in 19. The county was only X amount of employees in 19. And as we change out through those years, try to take out that false anomaly so we can project where we would be more comfortable with a realistic figure. Because if we only look for 3 years back, we got wacky numbers. and we're basing wacky decisions. I mean, that's not our reality. It's not going to be our revenue income. So that's what I was thinking. If, and it's not going to be perfect. It's just going to be an average. It's going to be an estimation. But it would help this board with those directors going, really, this is what we see as our best our best estimation is what we see as what we're coming into.
And Mr. Chair, it's kind of tough too, because every department, every office has their own anomalies.
Well, some are, that's true.
Some are pretty flat line, some are revenue based, some are expense based, but the cost of business still continued. But it was kind of weird through 20 and 21. So I think having the directors or the elected officials present their own anomalies, where they're coming out of it, let them explain their budget and just kind of see what that looks like. But I agree with you on the 3 years. So that's been a weird 3 years going back to 2020.
But I don't think, Zach, you tell me, I don't think 5 years is going to really be helpful. I don't want to be disagreeable, but I think 3 years is, you know, with the anomalies, we take those into account.
Okay.
So adding two more years to it, you tell me, Zach, I don't think it's helpful.
Given what's happened with inflation, supply chain issues, I think there's just going to be anomalies everywhere, regardless of how you look at it. But hopefully, oftentimes, though, that can lead to a good conversation of explanation, detail, why this did what it did.
Okay. And, Mr. Chair, I did convey to them yesterday when we met as a department group, I said, this is supposed to be a workshop. It's an open talk back and forth, fine-tune numbers, justify. I told them to make sure they're prepared. If they want a new position, make sure you're coming with numbers. Make sure you're justifying the position. Don't make your decisions on budget based on emotion and feeling. Make sure it's factual. So I think it'll be a good discussion, I'm hoping. But maybe having a sheet of showing the last 3 years and let them explain those anomalies. What do you think?
You want me to print out those sheets, or they are available in PowerPlan electronically? I don't have anything printed out right now.
Well, I personally like the electronic version. We have screens in front of the commissioners. We have three screens around us. Maybe we just bring in PowerPlan. We'll bring you some glasses, and
we can do on Monday, Sarah.
Yeah, really.
Chairman, I still like the paper for the notes.
But there's a report called Budget Detail in PowerPlan.
Chairman, while we're getting there, can I ask Zach a question? Representative Moyle asked me last night, how much is your state revenue sharing? I said, I don't know. I can find out. So on the intergovernmental line where you've got 45% and you know, there's a budgeted $38 million. You said that included federal and state grants and sales tax. Is there a way for, in the conversation that we're having about drilling down on some of those revenue sources, to show what that breakout is and what it's funding and what the shortfall is?
I think a great answer is it's not enough.
And I agree with you, but he's a person who believes in his position, and so he will argue robustly. And so I sat in a conference 2 weeks ago, and they said there's a big difference between telling me and showing me. He said, you can tell me something, but if you show me, he said, it's more effective. So I anticipate that this will probably get more contentious before it gets less contentious, just on what you're saying, the inflation and the budgeting and long-term expenses, that kind of a thing. Particularly when I asked for help on the jail, we did talk about a local option tax. He's adamantly opposed. He said the county should fund, you get your annual payment out of the revenue sharing that the state provides. So that would be an argument if we're going to counter that, then where those revenues are going.
They are going to current expense and justice fund. Those state sales tax monies go to core, basic, essential services. Prosecution, running a jail, just your basic county functions. None of that money goes to, no offense, county fair or parks and rec. Those state dollars go to the core basic county government functions.
And I appreciate that. And that, I'm a visual and an auditory, I have lots of things, but on that breakout, it does show on the revenue stream for different offices and departments what the revenue funding source is, which I think is helpful, particularly if we're gonna say we don't have X number of dollars, we can't just pull that out of, you know, what you provide. So, and given the inflationary costs, supply chain shortages, it's gonna be challenging. And so he's agreed to help us, but.
Here's an analogy with the what the state's doing, particularly to counties. Let's say I take the board to lunch and say, lunch is on me. Get the bill and you're $20 a piece. And oh, by the way, I'm paying $12. The rest of it's on you. That's what they're doing.
And there's shine-ola in the public.
Pardon?
They're putting shine-ola to the public that they're covering the 20.
Right. But, I mean, this has been going on forever, the unfunded mandates. And I was pretty happy to see last year when there was actually some representatives who started looking into that and started listing those down. And I think that's another thing that needs to happen this next session is they go right back into that. What are you mandating to the counties that are not totally funded?
Chairman, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I'll try to hold it down. But I also asked about the payment of the bonds from the 292. And I said that doesn't help districts that are trying, that are in need of and are at capacity over, like Middleton, for instance, their city council, were at 138% in one of those schools. So he said, public education is not a state responsibility.
What part of the Constitution is referencing that on?
So, and then the other question was, once it pays the bond and the supplemental bond, then whatever's left will help schools fund. And I said, well, how much is the obligation? We don't know. I said, then how do you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's like being on a cage, a hamster
they don't
wheel.
Have numbers.
They do not have numbers. That's the right statement, clerk. And so I don't know how you make a projection that your districts can bond for or build a school out of money that they don't know how much the bonds are and they don't know who's in line and what they need.
So let me tack on there. I'm not trying to make the meeting longer, but to make the point that everybody needs to understand, there was the compromise with 292, with part of the money going to the homeowner and part of the money going to schools. The reason that passed was the school part of it actually decreased the tax liability for commercial. Whereas going to the homeowner did homeowners only. So we already have this disparity between commercial and residential. And to get this bill passed, the reason it made it was they tacked it through half. Nobody knows the exact what they're gonna do because the numbers aren't there. But pushing it over to the schools benefits commercial.
Yep. Pretty simple.
No, we're all paying more sales tax. Even if you're buying the same basket of goods, you're buying the same eggs, you're paying more sales tax. So they're taking excess sales tax and giving it to Walmart for property tax relief. Where's the tax relief? We're paying more sales tax, taking it out of the right pocket, putting it back in the left. Where is the tax relief? Sorry, I'll be off topic here.
Where's the tax relief? Mentality of this legislature.
But the reason we go through this is when you're talking to taxpayers, you need the whole thing. You need the whole full meal deal. What all is contributing to this? And it gets very complicated. Most people aren't going to understand it. They're not going to sit there long enough to listen to find out what's going on here. But yeah, what happened at a state level was absolutely by design, and they want to keep that disparity.
Yeah, and make it grow bigger. Zach, you asked an important question. I don't know that we addressed that specifically. So, Chief, do you want to delineate any further? I as a commissioner, would like you in the room. You hold the authority. You hold the historical knowledge. You can come up with stuff we wouldn't be able to. And I think it'll make everything move way more concretely. You're welcome to whatever. I want it to be a team effort that they know that we care, but we want to laser down on everything and make sure everything's justified. So that's how I see it. That's my goal.
And Mr. Chair, we've worked with the schedules to make sure that we're all available in those workshops. I think we've squared all the way, haven't we? Because there was times that you weren't available or the clerk wasn't available.
I think so.
I think all that's been cleared.
Okay. We tried.
Nothing on Tuesday.
One. While they're looking that up, what were we getting into power plan for again?
There's a report called budget detail. Okay. You're in reports on the left-hand side. You see, if you click on budget detail, and then make sure you select fiscal year 2024. And this is public defense. I think Jeff Breach might have his budget done.
Yeah,
that'd be one we could maybe look at just to kind of get a preview for.
I actually received an email before this meeting that he's done.
So that shows the 2024 request, 2023 budgeted amount, year-to-date 2023, and then the full fiscal years 2022 and 2021. It wouldn't hurt my feelings not to print 500 pages of that. If we can do this electronically, I would be a fan of that.
We can bring a blank note and pad for you.
But this is exactly what I was envisioning bringing up. Maybe electronically.
Do the commissioners, are they looking at the same thing?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, we have it right in front of us. Commissioner Van Beek, we'll do what makes comfortable. Would you so honor us to try it electronic on these first three or four?
Absolutely.
And see how it goes. Okay, we'll see how it goes. Save the chair.
I'll just plan on being here then.
Yes, please. Yes.
Perfect.
You're welcome. However it works for your schedule. I thought we were trying to coordinate it so you would have as much availability as you could. So. But you have a few more irons.
I think I've got three scheduled on Tuesday, and of course I have an election today.
Yeah. You have a couple other irons in the fire. So.
Who won?
All right.
So I guess one of our messages is, due to how we're doing things now, we're not going to be as helpful on the spot as we have been in the past. And some of the stuff we're going to have to come back later after we go do some research. And
absolutely.
So you were in the wrong one. Yeah.
And, you know, I thought we were going to kind of consolidate and group this up, but it looks like we've got 3 months covered with.
Click on that one.
We'll play it in real time and we'll modify if we need to. So, all right.
One last comment on the process in general, the budget. In my mind, this isn't the Hunger Games. This isn't a competition. The county is doing a tremendous amount of good things in lots of areas. This should be somewhat of a celebration of accomplishments, things we've done, and now we're assessing current needs and looking forward. This should be a celebration of the quality of life here and the good things that we're doing.
Right. Absolutely, yeah. Have a lot of really good people that are choosing to work here. So
that's, we have some great subject matter experts in our departments and elected officials, and they're really the ones that save the dollars.
Yeah.
I've got numbers on a spreadsheet, but when it comes to operating a business efficiently and effectively, it's those subject matter experts that really make it happen.
Yeah, I concur with that.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to piggyback on that because working close with the directors, this is a good body of directors. You know, EOs are their own office, but I work with the DAs, but that's a good group. They're fiscally responsible. They present what they need. It's really good. I'm happy. I'm actually excited to see what Eric can present this year. It's going to be weird to keep my mouth shut, but we'll see how that goes.
And Chairman, I want to say, too, that on the budget side of it, we're really privileged that the chief is here and that he is working through with each one of those, building networks of relationships, ensuring that the budgets are properly presented for the clerk's office and for the board. So thank you, Greg, for all that you're doing for Canyon County. You are making a difference, and it's greatly appreciated. I have people from all over within the county and outside of the county talking about the difference that's happening here. So it's worth mentioning.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Until we meet again, which sounds like it's pretty soon.
Monday morning.
All righty. We'll adjourn for a second.